My dear brothers and sisters, Divine Vision is starting a new series, on the Messianic prophecies. The renowned Bible scholar, Reverend Dr. Michael Karimettum, will be sharing with you scholarly and prayerful reflections on the Messianic prophecies, the prophecies concerning the Savior of the world. As we know, God intended the universe to be a paradise, a beautiful place where man will have everything for the bliss of his life. But sin destroyed the beauty of this paradise and wrecked the plan of God. But in the infinite mercy of God, he promised a Savior to come to the world to save humankind from the ruin of sin. And God has been preparing the humankind for centuries to welcome the Messiah. And in this season of Advent, we are preparing ourselves to celebrate that great event, the event of Christmas, when the Son of God was born into the world as the Savior of humankind. And therefore, in this sacred season, this series has a very special significance. We will understand more clearly who the Savior is and what is the salvation that he brought for every one of us. Christmas is celebrated as a festival of light. St. John tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all peoples. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." A festival of light. Jesus came as the light to dispel the darkness from the heart of man and from the midst of men and women. It is not only a festival of light, it is also a celebration of hope. As the Word of God tells us, darkness has not overcome the light. Light is more powerful than darkness. Love is more powerful than hatred. Life is more powerful than death. And that is the message we believe in and we celebrate in this season of Advent. There is a very interesting historical detail about this festival of light that Christmas is. December 25 was celebrated as the sun's birthday in the pagan religions, including in Rome. December 21 is the longest night in the Northern Hemisphere. A popular interpretation of the sun's victory over darkness. Darkness, as we know, is the symbol of confusion, of fear, of uncertainty. But light is the symbol of hope and joy and a new life. And that is the reason why the birth of Christ is celebrated as a festival of light. Quoting Isaiah, Matthew's gospel tells us, Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. And now, in this season of Advent, consisting of 4 weeks, 4 weeks because these 4 weeks represent the 4,000 years humankind awaited the Savior. In these 4 weeks, we meditate on God's great love that brought in our salvation. My dear friends, as we prepare ourselves to celebrate the great advent of the light, the Son of humankind, the great salvation promised to every one of us, we need to look around and we find a world engulfed in darkness. It is not a bright picture that emerges from around us. Say, for example, the natural catastrophes that strike the humankind. Earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, wildfires, tornadoes, whirlwinds, tsunamis, a threat to the life and property of humankind. Man is not sure anymore. The sea is beautiful. The mountains are wonderful to look at. The earth is the great friend of every man and every woman. And yet, this beautiful earth, which is our home, is becoming an enemy, a threat to our existence. Wildfires and the global warming that we hear of all the time, the polar ice melting, causing terrible damage. When I go to bed, I do not know whether I will open my eyes or not in the morning. I could be engulfed in the depths of this earth, as it happened to many people. No nation is spared from the terror of the natural catastrophes. In fact, Prophet Isaiah has warned of these apocalyptic terrors. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 19. The earth is utterly broken. The earth is torn asunder. The earth is violently shaken. The earth staggers like a drunkard. It sways like a hut. Its transgression lies heavy upon it, and it falls and will not rise again. A picture of gloom. making us sad and anxious about our lives and the lives of our future generations. Moreover, there is a tremendous progress of science. At one time, science claimed that nothing was impossible. Say, for example, medical science. Medical science has found answers for all the problems that could vex the health of man. And what is happening today? Everywhere, ever new forms of deadly diseases and epidemics. Various types of flus and cancer, HIV positive, and you name it, the types of diseases. As you go out in the streets, you find men and women walking around with their mouths closed. Because the universe is full of germs that threaten to destroy the life of humankind. And then the economic crisis of unprecedented proportions, the recession, for example. People do not know whether they would have job tomorrow morning when they go to the office. A terrible uncertainty and anxiety in the minds of the people. When I take my child to the educational institution, I do not know whether I will be able to pay the fees, because tomorrow I might lose my job and I might become a poor man overnight. And social injustice, the wealthy becoming more and more wealthy, accumulating the wealth of the world, and they do not realize all that wealth is grabbed from the hands of the poor men and women and helpless nations. Pope John Paul II, addressing a massive crowd in the United States, thundered from the podium. Today, 80% of the resources of the world are possessed by 20% of the population of the world. And these 80% of the population of the world have only 20% of the resources to survive on. And then the Pope hit the podium and thundered. This is injustice. This is against our Creator. This has to go. Everybody clapped, and nobody did anything about it. Social injustice increasing all over. And therefore, the Pope said, love has a new name from now on. Justice. Give everyone his her due. Where there's no justice, do not speak about love and make love an opium of the poor people. Justice is to be done. Because of the social injustice, all forms of exploitation, there is anger in the hearts of the individuals and in the hearts of the nations. The terrible debt trap, keeping many of the poor nations captives of the richer states. And in human relations, a lot of mistrust, fear, and hatred. In the families, in the societies, terrorism, violence, and wars. Brother hating the brother. Am I my brother's keeper? That cry of Cain in the beginning of the world is echoed all over the world today. No one is ready to care for the brother, for the sister. And so, anger and violence and terrorism, as Albert Camus said, it is a terrible world that we are living in. Brother excreting violence and hatred and bitterness against the brother. The French philosopher Gabriel Marcel said, it's a broken world that we are living in. Selfishness ruling the minds of the people. The brother using the other, his brother, his sister, as a tool, as a means, as a function. And the German philosopher Schopenhauer lamented, homo homini lupus. A man is a wolf waiting to plunder on the other man, on the other woman. As a result, fundamentalism in religions and ideologies, families breaking up, marriages falling apart, sexual perversions, life endangered at the beginning in abortions, at the end in euthanasia. Darkness is thickening over the globe. As Prophet Jeremiah said, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23, I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. A gloom hovering over the universe and on the lives of human beings. In the political scenario, things are not better. As we know, world leaders are working overtime to bring harmony and unity and peace among the nations. All their efforts are wrecked by the powers of evil. In 1945, after the terrible world war, the United Nations organizations was formed to bring unity and understanding and harmony among nations. But what came out was the bipolar world and the Cold War. In 1989, the Berlin Wall fell, and the whole world rejoiced, and they said, finally, the Iron Curtain is removed, and there will be lasting peace. But direct on its heels came the Gulf War and the ever-increasing threat to peace. With the liberation of Kuwait by the Allied forces, everyone said the third millennium is going to be an era of peace, a millennium of peace. But all those hopes were shattered on the 11th of September 2001, ushering in a new era of terrorism and violence. And what's happening on our personal, individual lives? How do I look at myself? How do we look at ourselves? St. Paul laments in the letter to the Romans, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. And now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" Wretched man that I am. I know this. There is dichotomy in my very inner self. A law fighting against me. I'm a captive of the evil powers holding me tight. I'm not free. I'm not free to do what I want, the good that I want to do. How many individuals looked into my eyes and wept, tears streaming down their eyes, "Father, where is my salvation? I'm a drunkard. I'm lost. I'm lost in this evil habit. I make my decision every day, but I'm not able to keep it. My family is lost." How many young people, desperate, singing in despair because they're not able to come out of that drug addiction? Unholy relationships, hatred reigning in the hearts of people, often not because they want it, but they're helpless. You just scratch the skin, what comes out is not blood, but guilt and grief and anxiety. Even the self-respect is lost. I do not love myself. I do not appreciate my life, my decisions, my actions. There is an irritation about my own style of living and way of thinking. My dear friends, I was trying to describe the scenario within me and outside of me, in the world around me, around us. But then, a big question: are we hopelessly lost? Is light totally extinguished? Am I bound to live in the dungeon of darkness? Has the world no hope at all? Christmas tells us no. Christmas tells us there is hope. There is salvation. Darkness is not the last word. Light is more powerful. God is more powerful. And God has entered into this universe as my ally, as the ally of every man and every woman. God has taken our side and he has
taken our battle, our fight. And that's why St. Paul exclaims, Romans chapter 7, verses 24, 25, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." An exclamation of hope. Thanks be to God. He gives me salvation in Jesus Christ. The Lord is come. The Lord has taken my side to save me. I'm not alone. I'm not helpless. The Lord is there by my side. This is the message of Christmas. The message that should enlighten our hearts and give us a fresh hope to fight against all forms of darkness. Darkness will never overcome the power of light that's come to this world. My brothers and sisters, as we prepare ourselves for this festival of light, let us look at the face of God. As St. John tells us, John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to the world, and the Son of God has become Emmanuel, God with us." I'm not alone. God is with me. God is with us. A message that should go forth from heart to heart, from family to family, from parish to parish, from community to community, from nation to nation. God is with us. He has taken our fight upon himself. We will not be defeated during these 4 weeks of study and reflection. We want to meditate on the prophecies that God gave to prepare our world for the Messiah, the Savior. And a great joy is awaiting us. A fresh hope filling our hearts. The universe resounding with a new hymn. The hymn that the angels sang over the manger of Bethlehem. I'm bringing a good news of great joy for the whole world. The Savior is born. A Savior born into my heart. Waiting to be born into my heart, into my midst, in this world, as God with us. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for this festival of light, festival of hope that you are preparing for us. God, we looked around. Everything is dark and bleak. Everything makes us sad and anxious. And we want to look at your face. Look at the prophecies that you have given. Prophecies that you will not leave us alone. You will send the Savior into our hearts, into our lives, into our midst to save us. Amen.